Blog Talk Radio.
To God, This is your Fix at 6, and I am still your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil, on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. So let us clap our hands, pat our feet, and rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for such another beautiful day that you did not have to allow us to wake up. Amen. I want to take this time to open up in prayer. Father God, we glorify you. We lift you up. We thank you, Father. We praise your magnificent name. Father, we ask you to bless those that are in a suffering state, God, those that are less fortunate than us today, God, those who need a prayer on their behalf, Father, those who have lost their homes, lost a loved one in a storm or in a fire, God, or because of the COVID-19, God, we ask you to blow a healing power over them, Father. Give them grace. Give them mercy, Father. Give them favor, God, where there seem like there is no favor, God, in the name of Jesus. Send your angels down, Father, to war for them, God. Send your angels down to embrace them and to love on them, God, in the name of Jesus. We ask you to bless those that are traveling on today. We want to ask you to bless the pastors in Florida, the new family that have moved to Florida and became pastors who will be ordained in the next month. We ask you to keep them in your perfect care and your perfect peace, God. We ask you to bless them from this day forth, Father. Give them a fresh anointing. Give them new songs. Give them new revelation for the city and the state of Florida, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we say all these things in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I was just sitting around and I said, Lord, what do we talk about today? And it's just amazing how God can give you something if you catch hold to it. He'll drop it right in your lap if you hold on to it. And I just know he was saying, well, right now in sports, it's football season. And, you know, everybody's going, all the football fans and everybody going crazy over football. World Series, it's the season for the World Series. Amen. Even out here, if we look out the door, it looks like it's fall, but it's headed to the winter season. Amen. Glory to God. And he said to me, I want you to know that it's trusting season. Oh, we trust in, listen, he said it is trusting season. If the door seems like it's shut, amen, glory to God, it's already open. And if it's open and God wants it shut, let it stay shut, amen. Trust in him, amen. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3, 5, and 6, say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And don't lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. And he will direct our path. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The book of Isaiah 12:2, I think, and it says, behold, God is my salvation, and I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Hallelujah. So many in the book of Psalms, if you go to the Psalms 9, chapter 9, verse 10, you'll get a scripture that says, and those who know your name, put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Amen. Glory to God. Psalm 56:3 say, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. The book of Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That word trust, when I was in school, they used to tell us a verb, action, or a noun is a person, place, and thing, and a verb is an action word. Trust, that becomes a verb. It is a completed statement. It is a verb. Lean, that is an action. You lean. The minute God is, listen, you ever been a scenario or situation where you have a job interview or the people tell you you have the job and they tell you to come in on Tuesday and Monday night you get a phone call and they say, well, don't come in Tuesday, we'll call you. The minute you get that phone call and they say that, the first thing we do is doubt. the first thing we do, we're not leaning on God no more now. Oh, what happened? Something must have happened. Somebody must have said this. This must have came up. Oh, I knew this was going to happen. I don't even know why I did all this. Got up, got ready. I knew I wasn't worthy of it. But what if God just postponed it for a minute because the job that you applied for, God said, wait a minute, that's my child. Let's go back and let's promote this person. Let's do a little more shuffling because I have a better job for you. But the minute you heard don't come in, we stopped leaning on God. We went right to our own understanding. And the Bible say, lean not on our understanding. Anytime we take God out of the way and start thinking ourselves, we're leaning on our own understanding. We have to have an understanding that God knows what's best for us. Even though it seems like it's not going to happen, it seems like it's not going to manifest itself, it seems like, oh, I knew this was going to happen. That spirit of doubt has to be rebuked, bound up, and tossed away somewhere. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because trusting in God is a conscience. It's a conscious dependency. Like your baby, when you have a newborn baby, it depends on you to feed it, nourish it, change it, burp it. The baby depends on you for everything. And we got to get to the point and realize that we are God's babies, that we are his children, and we have to depend. I'm not saying be lazy and don't do nothing, because if you depend on him, he'll instruct you where to go, what to do, when to do it, how to do it, what not to do. But what I'm saying is we have to trust and believe that he has our back. Amen? We have to do that. Glory to God. God, we have to just continue to have a conscious dependency on God, much like leaning on a tree for support, much like sitting in a chair for support, much like if you're tired and you lean up against the wall to hold you up. It's the same thing. The command to acknowledge him means to absorb him and get to know him in the process of living. These are the vital elements of faith that should fill every area of our life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to shut this, but I got a person here that I want to talk about that I was reading, and I believe he's a prime example of what we're talking about, and we're going to talk about a few things. But the one thing I knew about him, and my wife always said to me, and I'm trying to apply it in my life, that we have to dare to be different. We can't be like everybody else. We can't hang around everybody. If we want to be separated, if we want to be apart from the world, if we want to be used by God, if we want to be that difference in the world, that difference in your home, that difference in your community, we have to spend time with God. We have to spend more time with God than in front of the TV, more time with God than at the ball game, more time with God than shopping, more time with God than even eating. We got to separate ourselves and dare to be different. Because when you're different, you become the outcast. But in God's eyes, you're his child of obedience. You're his bickering. You're his light. You're his light that he can put on assignment. He can send on assignment. He can trust you with anything. Amen. So the one thing we have to gather is don't worry about being different. Just get a hold of who we stand for. Amen. Because even in the book of Daniel, to the casual person who reads about him and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, to the normal person, these four people, they might seem absolutely powerless when They was in a place where everybody was different. They was the outcast. They was like the aliens there. Amen. They were captives of a pagan or foreign government, and they was living like in a mighty capital city. But these men possessed a hidden power. You possess a hidden power. We possess a hidden power of committed spirit. Our spirit has to be committed to God. We have to start operating in the spirit, and we have to let the flesh be just what it is. Flesh, we have to operate in the spirit. We have to think in the spirit. We have to speak in the spirit. We have to see in the spirit. We have to hear in the spirit. We have to pray in the spirit. We have to allow the spirit, man, to take over the weaker part, which to me is the flesh. The spirit, man, has to take over the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. They were even surrounded by the Babylonians. Amen. They held fast to their faith in God. They held more to their faith in God than what was going on there. Amen. Because they know God's power was absolutely an eclipse to the Babylonians, and practiced a few simple principles. And that's what they did. The principles, we get so deep and so way off course, and all we have to do is the basic principles. Pray fast, seek my face, get up early, go before you go to bed, bow down, talk to me, build a relationship. Because any relationship that's successful, one of the biggest components is communication. There's no communication, you're everywhere. Nobody understands nobody. You don't know who's going here. You don't know where they're going there. They don't know nothing. We're without communication, it's just a blank. It's just two bodies, three bodies, how many people it is, and nobody's communicating. If you're hurting and don't say nothing, I can't look at you and see you're hurting unless you're bleeding or you're swollen or tears are coming out of your eyes. That don't mean you're hurting. You could be in pain. You could be rejoicing. We have to make it known to God plainly, because he already knows. We have to trust in God with all our heart and all our heart. Amen? With all our heart. And we're going to talk about three principles that made them successful. And one of the first principles, they continue in their dedication to God and in their commitment to their values. What values do you possess today? Don't worry about what Trump said. Don't worry about what Biden didn't say. Don't worry about what Obama did do. What values do you possess to make the world better, to make the surroundings in you better, to make the people in your life better, to make your church better, your home better, to make you better, to make your relationship with God better? What values do we possess? Amen. Because the Babylonians believed in many gods. Amen. And they just believed in a god for fornication, a god for love, a god for money, a god for food. They just believed. But Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't go that way. These four men believed only in the true God, while only Daniel is specifically mentioned. All of the men no doubt shared his resolve and maintained their religious commitments no matter what happened. And if you go to the book of Daniel, chapter 1 and verse 8, it explains just that. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. We got to get back. You don't have to eat everything everybody eats. We don't have to do everything everybody else doing. All the tattoos, all the piercings, all the colorings of the hair, 6 different colors in your eyes, heels you can't even walk on, 19-inch heels, and you 4 foot tall, and I turn around, you 7 foot tall. We don't have to listen. We got to get back to the realizing and be happy who God made us. I'm not saying there's anything wrong to enhance the beauty he gave us, but I'm not, but to just destroy everything he gave us, we have to get back to saying, Lord, I appreciate you making me 6 foot, bald-headed, sorry, my hair fell out, Lord. I wish I had a full head of hair, but you seen it fit to fall out. You had a purpose for my hair falling out. You had a purpose for me being bald. So because you have that purpose, I'm grateful. Because something about this bald head, you're going to make. One day you'll look up and be proud of the bald head that God gave you. Be proud of your short hair. Be proud of your curly hair. Be proud of your nappy hair. Be proud of your big-figured woman. Be proud of your skinny person, whatever it may be. If God created you that way, don't try to alter what God made. The Bible said God made everything good. God made us in his image. So let's not start altering. That's why we become other people. We start putting different color eyes, different hair, and this and that. You know, we want to pump up our chest, put in fake booty shots, even the men, fake chests, and we're doing all these things to alter what God created us to be, because he created us that way for a reason. There's a time and purpose for us to be just who God called us to be. And believe me, when you start doing all these things, we become different people. We start creating characters. And before you know it, we done forgot who God called us to be. And we done gave ourselves some crazy name, Nunu on the juju, flip-flop on the flip-flap, whatever it may be. We done gave ourselves some crazy, crazy characters, some crazy beliefs. And now God ain't in the picture no more. Amen. It's just something to think about and something to be real about. Amen. Because these men, they also recognize that their education in the king's court involved an exposure to values that ran contrary to the beliefs as Hebrews. Now, see, when people start teaching you and telling you things that's not of God and contrary to what the Bible say, contrary to what God told you, contrary to what your pastor or your shepherd is teaching, and you know it's of God, but somebody else is trying to tell you something else to draw you way away from the kingdom into some other crazy religion or some far out, what they call them things, cults. We got to stand on what God said. And we know God said that the sun is where it's sitting at, and tomorrow, thus saith the Lord, I shall bring forth rain. And then I tell you, it ain't going to rain no more, because the book of Waka Waka, we believe in two rocks. If they don't fall in the same position on the third day on the right-hand side of the street, there ain't no more rain. Come on. Little crazy, stupid things we get involved in. And we seek these little things out because we done stop believing into what God said he was going to do for us, because it ain't manifesting when we want it to manifest. It ain't happening as speedily as we want it to happen. I'm guilty of that part. I be wanting things to happen immediately. I'd be like, Lord, can you do this for me right now? Lord, can I get this right now? Can you do this right now so I can do this right now? But these things that I'm asking for right now might not be any good to the kingdom of God, might not be any good to the building of the kingdom of God, might not even be any good to me. So when God manifests the thing, I know it's time. But I request it and leave it alone. I trust and leave it alone. I trust and leave it alone. Move on to something else. Amen. Glory to God. Because even something as simple as eating from the king's table was a violation of their religious commitments. The Mosaic law strictly outlined what the four men could and could not eat. Also, eating from the king's table would provide a strong signal to others in the court that these four young men had given themselves over to the king's rule, that they had conformed to the king's way. But Daniel and his friends refused to eat the king and stood a commitment to God in the midst of pressure to conform to another set of values. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We cannot be conform to anything that is not of God. We cannot partake in things that's not of God. We cannot partake in other men or other women's sin. We have to stand on what God said to us. We have to stand on our spiritual values. We have to stand on God's law and what God say, thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The second thing I want to talk about is they demonstrated sensitivity to the potential impact of their decisions on others around them. The official in charge of the four men was concerned that he would be punished if he was around them, or if they health suffered in any way by refusing the king's food. So Daniel listened to this man's listened to his complaint. He listened and recognized his fears, but was unswerving in his dedication to God. He stood by his convictions and suggested a plan that would allow Daniel and his companions to continue to honor God by their diet. So even people around you, if they see you behaving a certain way, they know you fasting, they know you're praying, they know you're a man or woman of God, they know you're not swerving to the left, they know you're not swerving to the right, they know you're not straddling the fence, they know you walk upright, they see you on a daily basis praying, doing the things that you, matter of fact, walking the walk instead of talking the talk, they see you doing it on a daily basis, they'll do whatever they can do to help maintain that part of your relationship with God, even if it means putting them in harm with their boss. Like if you at your job and you're printing something out or you're doing something, you ever notice how so many people be willing to help you, even if the boss say, don't be messing with them. I don't want them doing that. If you see them doing that, tell me. But because of your grace and because of the light you possess and because of the joy and the love that you bring with you when you walk into a room, because of your prayers have helped deliver them out of some things, they'll do and take the chance to help you, just like with Ruth and Naomi. They roll together. Amen. You're going to stand out, but we got to dare to be different. Amen. They were so sensitive to the impact that their commitments might have on the officer that they went and did whatever they could do to help him, to make sure he didn't get in trouble. Amen. The third thing was these men stuck together through the whole ordeal. Neither of them ran, neither of them backslid. They didn't desert each other. They stood together. And the Bible makes it clear that these four men acted as a team, as brothers, and later on, Daniel would face life-threatening tests by himself, and his three companions would encounter danger without Daniel's presence. But in the book of Daniel in the Bible, we found that the four stood together. No doubt, their companionship enabled them to pass this test and strengthen them for the test that they would later face. Because see, two or more together, they joined together, they trusted and believed in God together. There's power in numbers, even in the spiritual realm. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go to a song. Hallelujah. Yes, we're going to go to a song and we're going to come back and we're going to make sure we finish this. I just want you to know that God is going to work it all out. Amen. Hallelujah.
We'll be right back.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Won't he work it out? Won't he work it out? Amen. Give it over to the Lord, whatever it is in your heart, your mind, whatever it is that the enemy is trying to use against you, even those things, you have to give it over to the Lord. And we cannot react in our own fleshly ways. Amen. We have to behave in the spirit. And in the spirit, we just have to say, Father God, you know all things. Father, we just ask you to bind up that spirit of nonsense, that spirit of distraction, that spirit of wickedness in Jesus' name, and trust and believe it's done, and go on by it. Amen. We just have to continue to stand strong. Amen. Hallelujah. Like these four young men, we need to learn to live in the world without becoming like the world. Amen. Without absorbing its values that, and it's tough. Amen. Glory to God. I know it's not easy all the time. It's tough to do in isolation, but Daniel, Hannah, Michelle, and Azara had each other to help them through this tough time. And a lot of times we're going to need somebody to go through our tough times with us. And if there's no one there, trust and lean on the Lord. Amen. If there's no one there, trust and lean on the Lord. Don't go try to find somebody in the world. Don't go try to find one of your old drinking buddies. Don't go try to find one of your old gambling partners. Trust and believe in God. If you just have to sit in a quiet place and give it over to the Lord, and God will guide you out of that situation. Amen. But we can call on God to even encourage us if there's no one else there. Amen. And if you don't have such a friend, pray for somebody. Gather together with people regularly and discuss with them how that we can help each other. Stay strong in our conviction. Dare to stand together for your Christian commitments, even if the cost for doing so may be high. Dare to stand alone in the midst of society that doesn't necessarily share your religious and personal values. Dare to make a stand for God. Dare to be like Daniel. Dare to do what you know God has called you to do. Dare to do it in the midst of all kind of chaos, when everybody is celebrating and partying and seem like they're having a good time and they're being blessed, dare to stand alone and be who God called you to be. Amen. We have to operate in a spiritual consistency. Amen. Because if every man had to stand for his belief against intense oppositions, it was Daniel. His enemies had successfully carried out a clever plot aimed at his ultimate demise. King Darius had sympathized with Daniel, but the law that he himself had enacted wouldn't allow him to help his friend. Ain't that something? Because that's crazy. Go with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 8, verse 9. And read what it says. It would not even allow him to help his friend. Amen. And out of one of them came forth a little horn. Let me make sure I got the right scriptures. Amen. I don't want to give nobody nothing. Verses 8 and 9. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it would not change according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which authorized not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Amen. Hallelujah. He could not help. He couldn't even help his friend. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes that's why it's good to always lean on God, because we never know when we're going to find ourselves by ourselves. Amen. Because Daniel knew he wasn't alone. Although this chapter, chapter 6, if you read chapter 6, verse 1 through 28, although this chapter makes no mention of his friends, we know
from the earlier stories in Daniel that he had a few like-minded brothers with him in Babylon, amen. But most importantly, Daniel had God as his constant companion. He spent untold hours cultivating a relationship with God through prayer. We have to cultivate a relationship, cultivate it with God through prayer, and I'm going to add fasting, through prayer and fasting, because the fasting makes the spiritual man stronger. The fleshly man will get weaker. You'll get more strong in the spiritual things. You'll hear more in the spirit. You'll speak in the spirit. You'll see in the spirit. You'll fight in the spirit. You'll operate in the spirit. Before you know it, your spiritual being will always be stronger than the fleshly being. Amen. Because Daniel was a man of great spiritual consistency. That's the word, y'all, consistency. He simply refused to allow anyone or anything to stop him from praying. Hey, there you go right there. Anyone to stop you from praying or doing the work of the Lord. Amen. He could have easily postponed his prayer session even for a brief time, to save his skin, to save his flesh. But instead, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did all the time. You don't believe me? Let's go to verse 10. Amen. Glory to God. Chapter 6, verse 10 said, now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open, and his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did all four times, which means all the time. Every time he had a chance, he did it. Amen. It's as if the thought of putting God off never occurred to this man. This is what makes Daniel such a wonderful model of spiritual integrity, consistency, and purity for even us on today. Amen. The consistency, his purity, his dedication. Glory to God. Amen. While it's unlikely that any one of us will ever be thrown into a lion's den, it's a possibility. There's a time when we'll be called on to stand for what's right. And the best preparation for such a test is prayer. Like Daniel, if we want to do what's right, when we're under fire, we must do what's right every day. See, you can't do what's right one day, 2 days, 3 days. We got to do what's right every day, because it becomes a lifestyle. So before you know it, your prayers, you're praying and you're praying and you're praying, and God has no choice but to answer them. You're living upright. You're doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. You're doing the things that you're called to do. You're doing the things you must do. Thus saith the Lord. But do it every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to try to complete this with something that I think is very valuable and very important right now, in this day, in this time, in this era, in this season, in this date and time. And we're going to talk, because it's needed. And I'm talking about Daniel's prayer for the people, but we're going to call it prayer for the nations. Amen. Because this is a time, the Republicans against the Democrat, black against white, gay against straight, tall against small, slim against, I mean, like it's 2 years old against a 4-year old, the yellow midget against the black midget. It's just It's just everybody's against everybody. And we have to pray and unite God's people back together as one body of Christ. And those that are lost, once they see the togetherness, they see the unity, they see the wisdom, the power, the love, the commune with another, they'll be drawn in. But we can't draw them in Christian fighting Christian. We can't draw them in singing on praise and worship but throwing bottles at each other at the service. We can't draw them in preaching the word of God but sneaking in the back with the deacon's wife. We can't do it like that. We got to be real and upfront and do it the way God say do it. Amen. Make no mistake about it, because I know life is difficult and there are no detours though. There ain't no detours to get around life's trials and tribulations. There's no detours of getting around life's tragedies. Amen. None. We'll all encounter them as they come our way, as God allows them to come in our life. Amen. So the question of our lives is not how can we avoid hardship. The question should be, how could we hold on to God when times get tough? Because if we don't have that camaraderie and that relationship with God already, you don't even know how to hold on to God no more. You don't even know how to reach out and try to grab hold to him, his garment. You don't even know how to reach out and just say, Lord, do you still hear me? Lord, are you still there? You haven't called on God and talked to God in so long. You don't even know where to begin. Because we are so caught up in the surrounding. COVID-19, yes, it's a serious thing, but God is more powerful than COVID-19. God is more powerful than unemployment. God is more powerful than lack. God is more powerful than any fire, any storm, any tornado, any hornet, any disease, any president, any man, any woman. We got to get back to lean on God, trusting in God. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Glory to your name, God. It has to be about God. It has to be about God. Hallelujah. Book of Matthew chapter 6:25 says, therefore, if I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing. That's scripture. We have to get back to in the midst of everything that's going on. Let everybody else be foolish. We'll be right here waiting on the Lord to make a move and tell us what to do. But if we're foolish with him, we start calling people names, talking about people, insulting people. That's not Christ-like. Keep your thoughts to yourself. If you feel something, take it to the Lord. Keep that negative thought out your mouth, well as out of your heart and out of your spirit. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to be the same, and he's watching, and he knows, and he's waiting to build his people back up. He's waiting to build his army. Amen. So, in saying that, you get a chance, go to the book of Romans, write down chapter 15:13, and just say it on a daily basis. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, and believing so, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope, that we may abound in hope. We have to trust and believe in God. Amen. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Yes. Daniel grabbed hold of God and refused to let go. How did he do it? Daniel prayed. And within his prayer, we find an example that we'll do well to follow. Pray. First, Daniel's prayer followed from his knowledge of God and God's word. as Daniel examined the scripture and discovered that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years, the realization that this time would soon be completed drove the prophet to his knees. Some things that's happening should drive us to our knees. We keep on, oh, the president ain't gonna do nothing. Well, get to your knees and say, Lord, whoever you choose, fix his heart, put his heart in to do the right thing for your people. Make every promise that he promised God come to pass if it lines up with your will, whoever it may be. My vote is whoever you tell me to vote for, Lord. We cannot, as people, get caught up on, oh, ain't that, ain't that. No. When we see a problem, our solution should be dropped to our knees and pray. Our solution should be dropped. And if you don't feel like you can do it, call somebody and say, listen, I have an ordeal that's been eating me in my spirit. I just want to know if you would touch and agree with me and come together and pray with me for a few hours, for a few minutes, whatever time it may take. And here's my petition unto God. Will you fellowship with me in prayer? And before you know you done did it so much, you got a whole prayer warrior team that no matter what come to pass, God knowing he had y'all prayer, it's already done. We got to get back to what God wants. And not what we want, to get out of God's way. Amen. The second thing is Daniel's prayers was filled with confession and repentance. Ooh, he repented everything that he thought was unpleasing to God, everything that he thought he might have did, everything that he thought might have been wrong or not pleasing to God, everything that he thought might have hindered God from hearing his prayers, he repented. Amen. While he confessed, he repented. And you notice that he prayed not only for his own sins, but for those of the nation. Donald Trump's sin, Bynum's sin, Obama's sin, First Lady's sin, Vice President's sin, for the nation, Russia's sin, Paris sin, amen, the sins of Africa, the sins of Rome, the sins of the Pope, amen. God has disciplined Israel because of its sins, but the only way the nation could move forward was for each individual to turn from his or her sin in the same confession and repentance. Realizing that, Daniel poured out his heart to God. The third thing is he pled for mercy. He didn't demand. Instead, he humbly asked God to extend mercy to a people who didn't deserve it. Hallelujah. Extend mercy on me today, Lord, because I don't deserve it. I pray to do this. Extend mercy on my mind and my heart. Because I don't deserve it, God. Extend your mercy on me today. I repent of my sins today. And I want to pray for the nations. I want to pray for the lost. Hallelujah. Even if I don't deserve it. Because the church today needs men and women who will pray as Daniel did. Especially men. Indeed, prayer is our only hope. We need men who are devoted to praying for themselves, for their families, for their church communities, and for their country. This is a right now word. The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 1 through 9. If you get a chance, read it. It's right now time word. That God has just fulfilled. If you're in the ears of my voice, if you can hear my voice and you heard anything that was just said, God has just given us instructions for this time and what he wants us to do. So it is time to ask God to upgrade your prayer life, upgrade your knee strength, upgrade your health. But Lord, upgrade my knees. So when I break down on my knees, I won't use my knees for an excuse to get up because they're hurt. I'll need you to help me upgrade my prayer life because there are much to be prayed for. There are many people that are lost. God, there's many people who need prayer. And Father, I come in the name of Jesus, giving of myself and my time to pray for each and every individual who needs prayer on today and even the nation. We have no excuses after this moment, after this day, after this time. 6:57 p.m. on a Monday night, October 26, 2020, God has fed us. God has instructed us to lean not onto our own understanding, but to trust in him. And he just gave us what to trust in him with. He just gave us illustration. He just gave us examples. I love this last verse. The church today needs men who will pray as Daniel did. Indeed, prayer is our only hope. Hallelujah. We need men and women who are devoted to praying for themselves, for their families, for their church communities, and for the country. Stop being selfish. It's time to just give up, and let it be. Prayer is my lifestyle. We have to make it a part of our new way of living. Amen. This has been your Fix It Six. And I am being your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. And I hope that this fix helps fix every broken thing in our lives on today. Father God, we thank you. We glorify you. And we heard you. So now, Father God, you have called us out, God. Now it's up to us to stand on your word. It is up to us to stand and be who we said that we are. To give honor unto you in prayer, to give honor to you in prayer, to repent from our sins and all our wicked ways in prayer, to pray for the country that you have put together, Father, for the leader of this country, God, for those who are lacking, for those who don't know you. It is for us to come together in prayer. You have ordained it for a day of this time and this day. Now let it be so. Give us the strength. Give us the ability. Give us the willpower, God. Give us the refuge, Father, of non-interruption prayer. And if anything come up against us while we're trying to pray, we rebuke it in advance, God. We're calling you right now to send angels to guide us, to protect us, to shield us while we're in prayer. And as we are doing what you've called us to do, we pray against any interruptions, Father. We pray against any diversion or anything that is not supposed to be interfering with what we're doing. And we will show you and be who you called us to be. On this day, we say thank you. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray a song. Glory to God. And I know that greater is coming if we just trust and believe in God. Amen.
And our love has to go through three stages, for it's all to run. It has to go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. And just like the olive, some of you may have felt like you've gone through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. You went through all of that for your oil to flow. Now your greater is coming. If it had not been for the shaking, I never would have been ready for the making. No. For the beating, I would have never knew how anointed I would be. Oh yeah. If it had not been for the pressing, I wouldn't be able to walk into my destiny. He's preparing me, preparing me, preparing me.
Rushing in the spirit, preparing.